National Broadcasting Company presents Tales of the Foreign Service, a feature of the NBC University of the Air, written and produced in cooperation with the State Department and dedicated to the men of the Foreign Service. The material used in this series is based upon the confidential files of the State Department, much of it never before released to the public. Our program for tonight is The Non-Career Diplomat.
There are two kinds of officers in the Foreign Service. The career diplomats who begin as vice consuls and work up the ladder to important posts. And the non-career diplomats who are appointed direct by the president to important posts as ministers or ambassadors. Tonight, we bring you the story of a non-career diplomat. It is the story of a woman. A woman who undertook an entirely new career at an age when most women are willing to retire and watch life from the sidelines. It is the story of the courage and efficiency and gallantry this woman brought to the problems and difficulties and dangers which she was forced to deal with in her new career. You might say it began in the White House on a day early in the year 1937.
Yes, ma'am?
I'm Mrs. Harriman. I have an appointment with the president.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Harriman. Mr. Roosevelt is expecting you. Right this way, ma'am. He's in the study. Mrs. Harriman, sir.
Hello, Daisy. Come on in.
Hello there. How are you?
Fine. Sit down.
Thank you.
I've ordered lunch served in here. It's more private.
Oh, splendid.
Well, Daisy, it's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Well, Mr. President, you've arranged it now, so it'll be even longer before I see you again.
So that means you've made up your mind to accept the appointment to Norway?
Well, yes, I have, I think.
Good.
I'm tremendously honored by your confidence in me. But I must confess I most certainly have reservations about my qualifications as minister for Norway.
You shouldn't have. You have courage, tact, and intelligence. That's a rare combination.
Well, of course, I'm thrilled at the prospect, but frankly, you know as well as I do that I'm getting to be an old woman. 20 years ago, when I was on the Federal Industrial Relations Board, it was different. But
what? I've known you longer than 20 years, and I never noticed any desire on your part to retire to a chimney corner. I suppose something New York State last fall was your idea of relaxation.
That was fun, wasn't it? But it still doesn't alter the fact that I'm 67 years old.
And you're willing to turn your back on the biggest adventure of your life because of a date written on your birth certificate? I don't believe it for a minute. Of course you're going to accept.
Am I?
You are indeed, Madam Minister. And you're going to be a spectacular success. Now, let's get down to pieces. I think it would be an excellent idea for you to travel slowly to Oslo. I'd like you to have a clear picture of the general European situation. So 10 days in London, talking to our people there, and another 10 in Paris would be invaluable.
Mrs. Harriman could leave, there was a hectic month to date. 4 weeks of instruction at the State Department in the duties and intricacy of diplomacy. Household goods to be sorted in packs. Press conferences and discussion with Norwegian officials in Washington. Then the visits to London and Paris. But finally, on the 29th of June, 1937, Mrs. Harriman landed in Norway and entered upon her new career as the second woman in United States history to represent her country abroad as minister.
Oh, come in, Mrs. Harriman.
I've just been to call on the foreign minister, Jeff.
Oh?
He says there isn't a chance of my having an audience with the king for a week at least. I suppose that means I can't preside at our 4th of July party. If I'm not officially the minister until the king accepts my credentials.
Well, you know, our 4th of July party here is a great occasion. And the king must have thought of that, for we just got a message that he'd receive you before he leaves on his northern trip, just so you can preside at the party.
That was certainly very great.
And very much like King Hoffman. He said he'd receive you within 24 hours.
Good. Then I'll... 24 hours?
Yes. What's the matter?
But what shall I wear?
Well, the protocol department says you should wear a dark dress with long sleeves and a long skirt.
Yes, I know. That's not what I mean. I haven't any such dress.
Well, I thought you bought one in Paris for the presentation.
I did, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit at all.
Awful.
And now there's no time for alterations.
Well.
Oh, dear. What on earth? I do have one dress that fits the regulations. But it's rather old.
Will it do?
It'll have to do. Not that I would have chosen to wear to be presented to a king. But there it is.
Oh, it's too bad.
I was so anxious for my first official business to go off smoothly. Oh, well. I may be neat, but I certainly won't be gorgeous.
Next day, Mrs. Harriman set out for the palace wearing a rather ancient Thai silk and a hat whose chief recommendation when she bought it had been that it was cheap. Troops were drawn up in front of the palace and presented arms as she passed. Inside, there were soldiers presenting arms on every landing and all through the long upper hall. It quite unnerved Mrs. Harriman. She was afraid not only that she would not be able to say the right thing, but would lose her voice entirely. Then she was handed over to the court chamberlain, who threw open the door of the king's reception room.
United States Minister, the Honorable Florence Jeffrey Herron.
Your Majesty.
How do you do, Mrs. Herriman? Do sit down. I'm delighted we could meet before my departure for the North.
I'm most grateful for your thoughtfulness, sir.
Though I remembered very well the 4th of July party as the most important event of the American legation. It's splendid that you have arrived in town. Perhaps it will seem like home in the strangeness of your new post.
Oh, the dark lay doesn't seem strange at all to me. I felt at home here almost in my first hour.
That I am most pleased to hear. Yes, in many ways, I think our two peoples are much alike. And I shall tell you a secret. Do you know one way in which they are precisely alike?
No, sir.
They are neither of them like her addition.
Well, I wondered what had become of you, Miss Jeremy. Where have you been?
No, what a question. At the palace, of course.
All this time?
Naturally. He said I was to let the king give me the signal to leave.
Well, that's right, but these interviews don't generally last more than a few minutes.
Oh, you talked for nearly half an hour. Is that all right?
Well, I'd say it means you were a great success.
It is absurd of me to be nervous. Only I was so anxious for it to go off well.
You needn't worry. It obviously did. Well, another dinner party to your credit. You were in splendid form tonight, Miss Hanneman. You know, you're a real social success.
Am I, Jeff? I do want to be because it's part of my job. It's only a part, though, you know. There's so much more I want to find out about this country and the people. I think I'll make a trip.
Say, don't we keep you busy enough at the legation?
Oh, that's routine. Dispatches, meetings, trade discussions, negotiations, tourists, visas. I can handle all that. I want to do more.
And you used to worry about taking on a man's job. Mrs. H., you realize you're doing two jobs, really?
A minister usually has a wife to take care of the social part of his job, and it keeps most wives pretty busy, too. You have to do all that and your real work besides. I don't know how you do it.
Perhaps it's because you're such an efficient first secretary of legation, Jeff.
That wouldn't explain it, even if it were true. And besides all the rest, here you're taking lessons in Norwegian, you're learning the native Norwegian weaving. I hear you're even learning to skate and to ski.
I still want to make a trip, Jeff. I feel so strongly it isn't enough to see only those you have to do business with in the government. I want to know the people themselves, what they think about, the way they live.
That's a pretty tall order with all the rest you have to do.
I'm going to make a try at it anyhow, Jeff. I wouldn't feel right if I didn't.
I don't think you'd better go out with us today, Mrs. Harriman. The weather's way below zero, and there's a bad snowstorm coming up.
Now, don't worry about me. I didn't come all the way up to the Arctic Circle just to sit in the cabin and miss all the excitement. I'm going out with a fishing fleet, and I bet I catch more cod than you do. Is this where we cross the river? There doesn't seem to be any bridge.
As we cross on the cable, ma'am, in the little chair.
That is the thing?
You will be securely strapped in, ma'am, and the cable hasn't broken in 10 years.
Oh. Is anyone hurt?
How the unfortunate man who was crossing at the time fell into the ravine, and of course he was killed. But that was 10 years ago.
Oh. How reassuring. Well, help me to get into the thing. I only hope this is an anniversary. How beautifully clean you keep your dairy. I suppose you belong to the cooperative.
Oh, yeah. Before it was terrible. Each year we grew poorer apart. But now we go prosperous together. If my husband were here, he would tell you all about it.
I'll come to see him tomorrow. I know what the pamphlets say, of course. But I'd like to know what a dairyman thinks about his cooperative. Good morning, Dr. Coates. I just dropped in to thank you for all that you and the government have done to help me see your country.
Not at all, Mrs. Harriman. It is rather I who should express my appreciation of your interest. You have done a great deal for Norway through your understanding, and also your sympathetic and intelligent reports about us to America.
I hope I have done something. I admire this country so much.
Mrs. Harriman, I would like to take this opportunity of saying quite frankly that when you first arrived, I had some misgivings about the wisdom of America sending a woman to us as minister. A woman who was without experience in diplomacy and a woman who was, shall we say, mature in years.
Yes?
I want to say that today I think of you as the youngest member of the diplomatic colony.
Thank you, Dr. Coates. Now it's my turn to confess. I've been taking this rather strenuously. I'm a little tired. I think I'll stay close to the legation for a while and relax.
Relax, Mrs. Harriman. It is the summer of 1939. Hitler's armies are on the march, and Europe is at war.
Come in.
Still walking? Watch out for midnight.
I'll be through in a little while.
Well, you'd be through now if you hadn't had that sewing circle in this afternoon.
Yes, I know.
Mrs. H., why don't you give it up?
Those women need help, Jeff. Most of them have husbands somewhere on the continent. They don't know whether they're alive or dead. I can't leave them to brood like that all week with nothing to do.
You'll kill yourself if you try to play mother to every stranded American.
Oh, it isn't only that, sir. The work we are doing is important. We're taking over charities that the older women used to do themselves.
Oh.
Oh, I know what the other missions are saying about my teacup diplomacy. But too many Norwegians have gone out of their way to thank me for organizing this work. For me not to feel I'm right. For once, this is a woman's job. And I don't suppose I can expect the men to understand that.
You sound a little bitter.
No. Just that I'm rather tired. Sometimes these days, I begin to feel my age. That was horrible. Why couldn't we have done something to prevent it? Why can't we do something now?
If there's anything anyone can do, you will do it, Mrs. Harriman. That much I'll promise.
Cablegram to Harriman from Hull. American freighter City of Flint stopped on high seas by German raider and prize crew put aboard. No word from vessel in 2 weeks. Believed now in Norwegian waters. Most urgent to use every resource to find out if she puts into a Norwegian harbor and take all steps to secure American life.
Yes?
This is Dunlop, Mrs. Harriman. I found the city of Flint. You were right.
He's a soldier, sir?
Yes. The Norwegians are holding her for the moment, and the Germans are raising Cain.
I'll be down as quick as I can get there. Hold the fort till I come.
Meeting with a Norwegian referee and then Mrs. Harriman. Do you want me to handle this for you?
Certainly not. Thank you all the same.
Well, these women can be tough babies in an argument. Would you rather I came meeting with me?
Thank you. This is my job.